Adventures in Research. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today it is the story of Alexander Bain, whose adventure in research happened because he realized that time was money. Back in the early days, man told time by sundials, water glasses, and hourglasses. King Alfred burned a notched candle to show the passage of time. Plato invented an instrument that indicated the hours by notes of a pipe organ. But the greatest contribution to the clock came in the 17th century, when a young Italian lad knelt in the Pisa Cathedral, watching one of the altar boys lighting the tapers on the great lamp that hung down from the cathedral dome itself. The boy had pulled the lamp toward him, lighted it, and let it swing back. Weird shadows cut patterns across the cathedral walls as the swing died down and the lamp moved more and more slowly. And an odd notion crept into the young lad's mind.
Isn't that odd? Though the lamp moves less and less in distance, it still takes as much time to swing as it did when it started.
And in a few days, the 18-year-old Galileo Galilei raced to the shop of his family physician with a remarkable idea.
Coming, coming. Who is it?
Dr. Lispacci, please may I come in? I want to tell you about...
Who are you, lad? I can't see.
Galileo Galilei, sir. I must tell you something.
If it concerns your father, tell him not to worry himself.
Oh, it's not my father, doctor. It's myself that's
concerned. You? And what would be ailing with a young one like yourself?
Nothing ails me, Dr. Lispacci. But I have made a great discovery.
Oh, another.
Yes, doctor. A most wonderful discovery.
Start from the beginning, boy, and make haste.
Well, sir, I was at the cathedral one day.
Ah, a good place for a growing boy.
Please, sir, let me finish. I saw them lighting the taper on the lamp that hangs from the great dome. I watched it swing back and forth. Back and forth.
Neglecting your prayers?
Oh, hear me out, Dr. Lispacci. And I noticed a most curious thing. Though the lamp swung less and less, it took as long for it to swing as it first did. I timed it, measuring it with my own pulse, and I was right. Although the lamp covered less and less distance with each swing, it took as long for it to do the last as the first.
Look, young boy, I have more to do than...
Listen, doctor, for this is most worthwhile to you, a physician. So upon returning home, I attached this stone to this piece of thread here. See?
And what has this to do with...
You see, I noted that the length of time it took that lamp, or this, not upon the distance in which it moves, but only on the length of the chain, or this thread.
Am I to gather that this thread have some connection with my work?
Why, of course, doctor. Don't you see? I have marked this thread at various lengths, pulse beat by swinging this stone. If you need much thread to match the pulse, it means the pulse is slow. Short, if not remarkable.
And you say you learned this at the cathedral?
Thus, a stone attached to a thread was the first pendulum. Then the Dutch scientist, Christian Huygens, in the year 1660, added the idea of a pendulum to a set of cogs and wheels. And the pendulum clock was born. Improvement followed improvement, until at last the science of clockmaking was an accepted fact. One such clockmaker, Alexander Bain, finished his apprenticeship in the year 1837 and traveled to London to seek his fame and fortune.
Aye, so this is London, Alex. Oh, look at the people, will you? They don't know you now, but they will. Aye, they will.
Beg your pardon, chap.
What?
Stop daydreaming there, lads. This is London, boy. London, largest city in the world. Fortunes to be made and lost.
That's what I'm here for, sir. To make my fortune, I mean.
Well, isn't that pretty? And the only free thing you'll find in the world, lad. You want to make your fortune talking to yourself. Be up. Doing money.
Well, begging your pardon, sir, I don't see what concern it is of yours just what I do.
No, you don't. Then why did you speak to...
But you spoke to me.
I did. Yes, of course. I wonder if you could give me the time.
Why, it's 8:20. As you can see for yourself, on the finest watch in all England, I dare say.
Mm. It is nice. Who made it?
I did. Alexander Bain, journeyman clockmaker by profession. And for you, sir, well, I could fix one up for you that'd knock your eye out.
Fix up a what?
A watch, just like mine. Be after asking strangers the time.
Me carry a watch? My dear boy, I've at least four of them. And clock all of them. Oh, goodness, yes.
Well, then if you've so many, why be asking me the time?
Oh, none of them work, you know. Not that they're not good. Well, who has the time to be winding them all? Time is money. Can't waste time with clocks and such. But now, if you're such a clockmaker, invent a clock I don't have to wind, and that tells me the time, I'll buy it from you. Buy it? I'll...
Frisby, Trowbridge, Regent Street. Time is...
With me, Drew, you know. Well, good day, lad.
Time is money. And he asks me the time of day. Invent a clock, he says, that doesn't need winding, he says. Make my fortune. Only could. A clock you didn't have to wind. Some sort of impulse. Like the telegraph, or... I say, the telegraph. The telegraph.
And journeyman clockmaker Alexander Bain set out for the offices of Cook and Wheatstone. There was a firm known all over England. Wheatstone had developed a means of telegraphy, but lost the patent rights because Morse finished his first. If anyone knew about telegraphy, it was...
Mr. Wheatstone?
Right, right. What's on your mind?
Telegraphy, Mr. Wheatstone, telegraphy.
It's on mine, too. Well, what about it?
I've been thinking about using this telegraphy to tell the time.
Oh, yes, that thought's crossed my mind, too. An electrical impulse...
That swings the pendulum.
Yes, yes. What about it?
I'm a clockmaker by profession, Mr. Wheatstone. If I could invent an automatic, self-winding clock by means of telegraphy...
Yes, maybe we could at that.
Whose the original idea was, whether Whetstone had considered it before he talked to Bain, remains one of those inventor's arguments. But by 1840... Charles Wheatstone addressed the Royal Society on this newest discovery.
The self-propelled telegraphic clock. And by impulse alone, gentlemen, we shall have the wonder of the ages. A clock that never runs down. A clock as accurate as time itself. The Wheatstone clock. Well, Mr. President, what do you say?
My admiration for Mr. Wheatstone's enthusiasm is as boundless as yours, to be sure. But I am very much of never could answer in any practical sense. Nor would anything but the strongest evidence, independent of the inventor, convince me that any independent pendulum directed by electricity can succeed in keeping good time for any considerable period.
And why not?
And anyone who sets to work to invent electrical clocks must start with this axiom, that every now and then, electricity will fail to lift anything, however small.
But disregarding such talk of failure, Wheatstone and young Bain continued their experiments. When we consider that the theory of electromagnetism had just dawned on human intelligence, indeed, the words series and parallel hadn't even been coined, Bain's automatic clock was an amazing work. To an ordinary clock pendulum, he had attached a curved bracket, which, on the movement of the pendulum, scraped across a surface of some insulating material divided by a metal band. This insulated block was, in turn, attached to a dry cell. Thus, every second, Bain's pendulum touched the contact. With success in his grasp, Alexander Bain made a fateful appointment with the irascible Frisby Trowbridge.
Oh, come now, this apparatus is going to tell time all by itself.
That is my hope, Mr. Trowbridge. That's your hope, too, isn't it?
My hope? Huh?
A clock that doesn't need winding?
Oh, quite. Yes, quite. Considerable novelty. These telegraphers coming into my study all this week, stringing wires around the yard. Most provoking. Particularly so to a busy man like myself.
I know, Mr. Trowbridge. Time is money.
Well, it is. Something you should give a thought to.
What about this clock? Let's have it over and done with. I have an important engagement later this evening. What time?
Well, never mind the time, Mr. Trowbridge. Don't you see? This is an electric clock. If it works, and I believe it will, we are on the threshold of something tremendous. You and I, Mr. Trowbridge.
Well, hurry, lad, hurry. I don't see how this could possibly have
any... Ready, Mr. Trowbridge. Huh? I'll attach these telegraph wires to the mechanism and... There.
Say, it's ticking. It is, isn't it?
Set the timing apparatus to 25 to 10. There, Mr. Trowbridge. What do you say?
Oh, goodness, so late. 25 to 10? I have an engagement. I can't wait till the last minute. Not with this storm coming up. Oh, I simply...
Mr. Trowbridge, huh? I'm talking about the self-winding clock. The electric marvel right there in front of you. No winding. Purely electric telegraphic impulse.
Then I must say, Bain, you have something there. It needs nothing more than this. I'll back you to the limit. There's a fortune to be made in a clock that needs no winding to keep it ticking on and on and... What's happened?
I don't know. It stopped. I can't...
You said it did.
I know. Something's just gone wrong, that's all.
That's all. My boy, time is money. You can't have a clock.
Mr. Trowbridge, perhaps the
storm... There's no just a minute. I'm on my way. I have an engagement, and that storm looks worse every minute. No, I can't waste time with a clock that doesn't...
Here it is, Mr. Trowbridge. The wires are down. That lightning must have... or maybe the storm. But it's the wire, that's all. There's nothing wrong with the clock.
Nothing wrong? Isn't working, is it?
No, but it's the telegraph wires. As soon as the storm is over, I'll have it fixed.
When the storm's over, get it out of here. I want no part of a clock that doesn't keep time. I have enough of them now.
But Mr. Trowbridge, if you'll only...
I'm probably late now because of your infernal machine. Hey, Mr. Bain, and keep your clocks away from me. I can't bother with them. I time...
I know, Mr. Trowbridge. Money. I only wish mine were...
Yes, the first electric clock was a failure. Neither Mr. Bain's nor Mr. Wheatstone's clock was ever accurate or dependable. But they were a beginning, an idea which later inventors improved upon until we have the modern electric clock of today. And all of us who use them day by day owe a bit to Alexander Bain, who first invented the electric clock 108 years ago, when he realized that time was money. And that's today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Join us, Dr. Thomas, on Adventures in Research.